Hello, San Diego. Welcome in on this Tuesday afternoon. Tony,
who are we working with today, Scrape? Jerry Seinfeld?
I don't know.
Could it be Jerry Seinfeld? It could be Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'm Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome into Gwen and Chris on this Tuesday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby, Padres back into the win column. Michael King off to a slow start in yesterday's game. Had to kind of grind through three innings. Got back on track, got through six. And none other than, I would say, the front runner right now, Jackson Merrill for the National League Rookie of the Year, did what he does best. In a big moment, he shined. A three bases clearing double is what put the Padres up for good. And the Padres look to win, get back into winning series with a victory today. They can do that. And the matchup today is Mr. Uber, I believe. Bailey Uber, the 6'9 righty.
He is a tall drink of water.
Tall drink of water taking on Martin Perez. Padres looking to get the second game of this series. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Doing very well, Tony.
Scraby, take me out of the backstage, sucker.
I can't ever see you down there. Okay, there we go.
There
Tony
we go.
Doesn't like to be in the backstage.
Well, because he can't. He's just
out.
There.
Well, he has to show off his T-shirt. He's got the City SC. You know, you want to hear something crazy today, Tony?
What you got?
We walked in. Craig Elson's wearing the same shirt you wore yesterday.
Yeah, the beach ball shirt.
Tony, your dad hitting the beach ball. He has the same shirt.
It's a good shirt.
And it was suggested by Craig Elston and agreed to by Mr. Scraby that since you do a nice job with your T-shirt selection, people write in all the time, where did Tony get the shirt? What does that mean? What's it all about? That maybe I ought to start wearing some T-shirts and bringing something to table. So here you go for today.
A blank white
shirt. Good old plain white
tee. I got nothing.
Looks
but I'm
like
gonna
it's
have to
been
work.
Washed maybe 150 times.
All right, 149.
Off-white.
Yeah, it's eggshell white.
149. I'm gonna work on my T-shirt game now that we have the challenges out there. So we'll see what we can come up with. But I'll tell you what, Tony, Jackson Merrill, incredible, and you know, I mean, I don't even think Paul Skeen. The roles are reversed completely. You know, whereas it was Paul Skeens' to lose at the All-Star break, now I don't think Paul Skeens can do anything about the fact that Jackson Merrill is doing so well. And I don't know that he can keep up with him, but we're talking about, you know, Rookie of the Year, and it's way too early to be doing that. The good news is the more that Jackson Merrill does this, the more we can focus on the stuff that he would rather focus on, which is winning and getting into the playoffs and winning a division title. And, you know, this guy it's not amazing anymore. You know, he comes up in all these situations. That was an 0-2 pitch, was it not, Tony, last night?
Yeah, two bad changeup. They left it up enough.
Yeah.
He made them pay.
Yeah, 0-2 pitch.
I mean, listen, I think clearly he has put himself in a good position in terms of the Rookie of the Year stuff. There's still plenty of baseball. I'm not even entirely sure that it's specifically a two-guy race. I mean, Jackson Chirio for the Brewers is all of a sudden had himself a pretty darn good season. He's got numbers that are similar, not as good as Jackson's for sure, but also a guy you got to talk about. Padres, I think ultimately them winning these games is making the conversation actually harder for Paul Skeens. I mean, yes, he did start an All-Star game, but his team is faded and faded fast. And there's a chance that they end up shutting him down before the end of the season. And, you know, we'll wait and see how that goes. But in terms of Jackson, his effect on this team and what he did last night, it was kind of business as usual for him, right?
Yeah,
I mean, this is not anything that we've seen different. And by the way, he didn't miss. He missed out on a homer to left field by not that much. It was a click out in front of his last at bat where he flew to right field. He seems like he's dialed in at the plate. I mean, even the pitches he fouled off before he doubled. Fastball at the top of the zone, he seemed like he was right on. And then he expanded the zone. He was a little upset at himself at swinging at the 0-1 pitch, but he was on that too. And so he's in a good spot right now. Padres get a nice win. I thought Michael King was excellent. I mean, that's That's how you win games at the major league level. I mean, he didn't have his best command at all first three innings, but he stayed with it. He was frustrated. You could see it in his face through the first two, but he stuck with it. And then next thing you know, you look up 85 pitches, six innings of work, four hits, two runs. He walked three, but he struck out six. He just battled. And then you hand it over. It's a six-inning game because right now you hand it over to whatever combination you want right now, whether it's Adam, Scott, Suarez, whether it's Morty Hone. I mean, even Yuki's thrown the ball a lot better here as of late. And so, and I'm sure I'm missing somebody in there. Did I say Morty Hone? Yeah, I think I said Morty Hone. They've got a pretty good thing going right now, and yesterday was just another example of that.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Adam, my goodness. It didn't even look like he was facing major league hitters. With the ease, he struck out those three Minnesota Twins batters. And, you know, Tanner Scott starting to pick it up now. I think he's getting comfortable. Suarez, for him, had a little bit of a hiccup. I mean, guy pulled a double off him down the line. Actually, I changed my mind. It was a single because Manny Machado raced down into short left field and played the carom. Not bad for an old guy who never hustles, huh, Tony?
Yeah, man.
That was a nice play by Manny, and I want people to notice it. All of his critics can kiss his, you know what, on that play, because he made a nice hustle play there when it had to be made. So
the reality is, Manny is one of the smarter players in baseball in terms of just understanding situations, finding ways to put himself in the right spot. You know, kind of what Manny does, man.
That's a good play. The bullpen is fabulous. I want to go back one last thing on Jackson Merrill. And here's what I noticed, Tony, and correct me, you've seen all of this a million times too. The kid comes up, the game, it's a third inning, but it's a key moment. There's two outs, the bases are loaded. It's an 0-2 pitch. So he's up against it. And as you said, they leave the changeup up in the air, and he crushes it to left center field. Now, that was a double all the way. I don't think there was any question in anybody's mind it was going to be a double. All three runs were going to score, and the Padres were going to lead 5-2. I decided to watch Jackson Merrill as he coasted into second base because I was sure that the three runs were going to score. But you know what he did not do, Tony Gwynn Jr.? He did not coast into second base. He rounded that bag, and he was thinking about taking three if that throw home had bounced even a foot away from the catcher. And then he went back to second base when the ball did not bounce away. This is the kind of unseen greatness in this young guy that makes me really, really love to watch him play. I think just about every other big league player, and that includes some of the best, would have coasted into second base with their three-run double. It was a big play, big moment in the game. He was still thinking about taking third if the throw gets away. That's how this kid thinks.
Facts.
Facts, nothing.
Boom.
Did I lose Tony there?
No.
No, you got me. I don't know. I don't know if every major – I think most major league players would be looking to take the extra base if they had it. But kudos to him, man. I mean, that's what makes Jackson – I think that's why the veterans like him. He plays like
plays the right way.
He just plays baseball the right way. Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, I that is something you should be doing. I think most of the guys on this team that we watch every day are in that position. I think that's why this team is as good as it is. It's not just one guy that's playing the game right. It's all of them that are playing the game right. It's very rare that we are pointing out something. All of the mistakes they normally make, they're very – I can't think of any mistakes that have been made from lack of hustle, lack of being ready. It's always, man, they probably shouldn't have went tried to take that extra base, or, oh, they probably shouldn't have tried to stretch that into the – those are the type of mistakes they make. And when you're managing a team, you certainly like those mistakes more so than you like the ones where it's because – you're not ready, or you didn't get out the box the way you should have. And I think that's what Jackson did in that specific play you're talking about is just indicative of what this team has done as a whole this entire season, which is why they're 71 and 55 on the season, and this is why they've gone on the run they have in the second half of the season.
Yeah, don't look now, everybody, but the Padres to if they only go, and I'm saying only because I think as things are going right now, most people would expect them to finish much better than this. But if they only go 19-17 in their last 36 games, they'd get to 90 wins. And wow. 90 wins is something that I don't think any of us were even thinking about, you know, when the All-Star break came. It was just survive, try to get into the playoffs any way you can. Now, 90 seems almost like a foregone conclusion, and how many more over 90 can they get? That's how great they've played for a while here.
Yeah, no, they've been on an absolute heater, as they like to say, as we like to say. And, you know, that really wasn't, in the crazy part, it really wasn't that great of a game from the Padre offense. I mean,
no, they went to bed after the third inning. Everybody went to bed after the
right.
third inning.
They had, and listen, the one thing they did again last night, they took advantage of the air. They had those three runs that Jackson brought in were because of a misfielded ball at first that led to that inning continuing. And then Jackson Padres doing what they do all year. They made a team pay for the mistakes. But that being said, it wasn't that great of an offensive output for them. It wasn't what we've become used to seeing, yet they're doing what good teams do. They found a way to win. Somehow, some way, whether it's an error that opened the door to it or not, they found a way to win. And now they're got a chance to win this series today. As I said, Bailey Uber. Ober versus Martin Perez. Padres looking to get that second victory. No lineup yet. At least I haven't seen one yet. Let me refresh this. Yeah, still no lineup yet as we wait to see what happens here, Chris.
Well, here was the strangest thing about last night's game, from my perspective, is after the third inning, the game had already gone an hour and 10 minutes. And I was settling in for a long evening. By the ninth inning, it was 2 hours and 10 minutes, and the game was over.
Yeah.
The last six innings went by in the blink of an eye. I don't think the Twins had a base runner from the fourth inning until those last two guys got on base against Suarez in the ninth.
That's accurate. Looking right? at my scorecard right now, they went three up, three down in the fifth, three up, three down in the sixth, three up, three down in the seventh, three up, three down in the eighth, and then they had a little action in the ninth.
Man.
So. Michael King showing his chops. Remember, this is his first full season as a starter.
Yeah.
He was going back and forth last year, which is part of the reason why they're paying attention to the innings. But I think he showed his chops last night as things got weird in that first inning. He wasn't commanding the baseball. He walked a guy in the first, walked a guy in the second, hit a batter in the third, walked a batter in the third, and then settled in nicely. Got a quick fourth. I think it was like eight pitches. Got a quick fifth. It might have been even less at that point. And then it was just, you know, then they brought in the chainsaws. And Jason Adam proceeded to strike out the side, and it's just it's a lot of fun to come to the ballpark and just watch good baseball.
Yeah, and
that's really what it boils down to. The Twins
are good, and they looked overmatched against that bullpen. I Jason Adam can't be this good. If he was this good, he'd never give up a run. I mean, did you see the? I mean, you've seen big hitters look bad before. Those three guys looked with no chance. What he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, he faced, was it
8-9-1, I think it was?
Yeah, Vasquez, Martin, and Castro.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he had them twisted up pretty nice. I think the other thing for you to pay attention to is because, listen, now you guys know I'm against scoreboard watching, but the circumstances have kind of forced you to look at the scoreboard a little bit. Diamondbacks, they won yesterday, but they're starting a journey without Ketel Marte for the next 10 days. So how will they be able? Because quietly, Ketel Marte had started to put himself in MVP-type category with the way he had been playing. That's a big piece to lose for, another 9 days, unless it was retroactive, which I don't think, because he left the game, had to be helped off. So yesterday, I believe, was his first game on the IL. So you got nine more of those bad boys. how much of an effect, because the way things have gone between these two, no one's really losing. You know, they lose on the same day, they win on the same day. Can you keep up that pace with that piece out? The Padres have shown all year long when their guys go down, someone steps up. This is, I guess, the test for the Diamondbacks and what they'll be able to do while he's out.
It's a big test because Ketel Marte is going to be hard to replace. The Dodgers did get Max Muncy back last night. He had a home run. Tommy Edman finally made his Dodger debut last night. Freddie Freeman's going to play the rest of the season, from what I hear, with a hairline fracture in his hand or his finger. So he's in there, but not maybe 100%. Betts is back.
What do we need to, like, praise him for that or something?
Well, I would praise him. I mean, I guess he could decide to sit out, but they can't afford it right now. He's playing anyway. But the Dodgers.
Oh, you play with a hairline fracture.
Yes, I know. Anthony Rendon and I know Mike Trout. What?
Listen to the guy.
You're making fun of the guy who's actually doing something that you want him to do.
Listen to the guy who was angry at everybody when his shoulder was barking.
It still is barking. I'm still at working.
There's one other thing I want to point out. As the Padres' bullpen has gotten incredibly stronger, the Dodgers continue to struggle in their bullpen to try to find somebody. The Diamondbacks are searching for a closer now. What's his name?
Seabolt.
Seawald lost his closer job about 2.5 weeks ago, and they haven't really been able to settle on anybody yet to replace him. So, you know, this is something that could come into play in the last 5 weeks. Is the bullpen advantage the Padres seem to have right now.
The Dodgers may very well be in better shape. They got Michael
Kopech,
who has looked pretty good in the Dodger uniform. So they may have some things figured out. Although last night they went back to Phillips.
Yes, they did.
And he got the save in yesterday. So I think the Dodgers are actually starting to get healthy, finally, and they'll be, you know, I assume they'll be where they normally are. The Diamondbacks, though, that's a real question. With Marte out, they don't have the same type of structure that the Dodgers have. Without a Marte in that lineup, can they sustain it? We'll wait and see. Let's get to break. When we return, Martin Perez. A lot of people were a little shaky, not quite feeling what Martin Perez was going to give.
Chris.
was just relaying what he had seen.
I was saying what everybody else was thinking. You didn't say anything because you didn't have the guts to say it.
I definitely have the guts to say it. Martin Perez was on my fantasy team earlier in the year. I had to drop him at some point.
Please,
but
you and your fantasy. Everything's a fantasy for you.
we are well past our break time. Let's get to break. We'll talk a little bit about Martin Perez and the success we can expect. More Gwynn and Chris on the other side.
Stretching out before the segment. Scravy's giving me a look.
Sometimes you got to stretch out before the segment, man.
Got to get loose. Got to be loose. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, that's Tony Gwynn Jr. over there at Petco Park. Scravy over here. Scravy, here's the thing. We have a couple of tickets to give away to Friday's game between the Padres and the Mets. This Friday, a couple of tickets. I want to reward all of you that are out there right now, early, on time, you're at the show, you're ready to go. I want to give them away. Scraby says, nah, hold on to them.
These are all fair conversations, okay?
He's telling the truth. Chris is telling the truth.
Make the people sweat it out. Make them have to sit around and wait for them. So why don't you
say you say?
So
you
why
make
don't
it
you
sound like I'm some
spoken
evil
like
villain.
A true producer right there?
So just an evil villain over
so
here.
So here's the thing: if you're on the chat, let us know. Would you like me to give the tickets away now, or would you like to have to sweat it out for an hour or so and wait?
Well, they're already mad at me. Apparently, you can't talk trash about Freddie Freeman. I don't understand sometimes the line that I cross. I don't think that's a big line that I just crossed.
I just think you should stop dogging people who are actually hurt with real injuries, especially considering your shoulder is broken right now.
Do you know that there's satire involved in this whole thing where I say, oh, his little finger? You
know, sometimes, you know, you're right. Sometimes there is satire. But a lot of times there's a lot of truth to it. Yeah. 100%.
There's a lot of truth to it.
You just try to disguise it sometimes in satire.
Yeah. While you're at it, Scraby, since you're bashing injured players, you got anything on Ha-Seong Kim for us here? Now he's silent.
Each injury is a different case. So now on the chat, it was...
Well, it's not well, that...
We praise Luis Arraez for playing with an injury. He's got a torn ligament in his thumb. There's a hairline fracture in Freddie Freeman's finger.
What's worse? A torn ligament!
I don't know. You tore your thumb ligament shaking your toothbrush out.
I know, but a hairline fracture, that wouldn't be that easy to play with either.
I think Scraby hears the word hair, and he just assumes that it's like it's nothing.
I've had a hairline fracture in my finger before. I've dislocated my finger. I've broken my fingers.
And you could have played big league baseball?
I can only imagine how much you complained. That's the best word I could come up with on this air. How much you complained about that hairline fracture on your finger. Were you playing football at the time?
Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm.
It was high school football.
How much did you practice and play with the hairline fracture?
I played because I did not want to sit out. All they did was tape my fingers together, and then they made me go practice
squad. Did it hurt when you had to block?
Yeah, but I'm also playing football, not baseball.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wearing a glove, putting the glove on, having to close it.
Okay, which hand is this on?
It's on his right, I believe.
So that's his catching
hand. But he had to use both hands to swing a bat, dog.
No, that's his throwing hand. He throws right-handed.
Oh, but he bats left-handed, right?
He bats left-handed.
Okay, so he throws right-handed. Okay, I can see that being hard, but he's a first baseman. He doesn't need to throw the ball.
There you go, Tony.
Isn't that why they put people at first?
Tony, I can't believe you're arguing, Tony, with this perfectly good line of reasoning
over here. What am I doing now? You're
Mr. Scraby.
Right.
I don't know how I crossed all these people, but now I'm just getting more and more hate.
Just a quick note. Today must be Team Picture Day.
They're all out there.
I'll see if my computer can pick it up that far.
Oh, yeah, let's see.
Oh, yeah, I see the field.
They're all out on
the
field getting ready. Yeah, everybody's going out in their nice dressy whites.
Nothing like standing in a 90-degree sun.
Yeah, perfect day for picture day. Hey, guys, we got the hottest day of the year. Why don't you pop on out here in the middle of the day? We'll do pictures for a half an hour.
The worst part is they probably had this planned the entire season.
Yeah. They definitely had it planned for this day. And, you know, baseball players are funny. They don't like the routines messed up, so you see everybody just kind of taking their time.
I know, they're not really in a big hurry to get out there. No update on Ha-Sung Kim, other than the fact that Scraby probably thinks he's wimpy for sitting out a game yesterday.
No, sounds about right.
Well, I mean, after all, I mean, Mike Schilt said everything was encouraging on the MRI, so why wasn't he in there last night, Scrape?
Because he probably needs a day off. I mean, the guy has dealt with shoulder injuries this season.
Shout out to Chris yesterday for calling that on air, that we're probably going to get close to nothing in terms of the runaround.
We did get the runaround. Yeah, we did.
Matter of fact, it was funny. While we were listening, at some point, I think Mike started to feel like he was actually giving up too much information. So then he kind of was like, I probably said too much at this point.
Yeah. He didn't give us a whole lot on Ha-Sung.
In my head, I was thinking, like, for the media, you probably didn't. You're good. You didn't say too much.
Yeah. So we don't. It's very confusing, but we just know Ha-Sung Kim wasn't in the lineup last night. I would not expect him to be in the lineup tonight, but we'll see. The lineup is not out yet. Here we go. We got a Fantabulous Sports game show coming up for you. It's going to be live on. On YouTube, you're going to be able to watch the combatants go at it today, Scraby against Tony. So that's coming up next. A little bit later, the San Diego State football team announced a historic choice as a starting quarterback. Kirk Kenny will run some of that down with us. All the rest of it, and then later in the day, Padres Twins. Gwynn and Chris right now on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3. The Fan. Sorry I didn't give away the tickets, but Scraby wouldn't let me.
Okay.
So caught up in Scraby harassing injured people that I didn't even get to tell you why Martin Perez has been so good. We'll get to it a little bit later because I believe there's a butt whooping that's about to happen.
I think we have a couple minutes for your Martin Perez. Honestly, I think we do because.
Okay.
Yeah.
Martin Perez, been quite the find for the Padres. There was a lot of Twitter concern that, you know, we were getting another version of what we got from Rich Hill when he came here last year. That has not been accurate, to say the least. And he's pitching a lot different. And I'll give you a little breakdown of his pitch. Like he's a sinker, cutter, changeup, curveball, four-seam fastball guy. In that order, with the Pirates, he threw the sinker at about 37%, the cutter at about 25%, changeup at about 21%, the curveball at about 10%. With the Padres, the sinker has gone down in percentage to 23.2 from 37. The cutter has gone down from 25% to 19. The changeup has gone up from 21% to 25%, but here's the biggest jump right here. The curveball went from 10.4% to 26.9%. And, you know, and this is why different coaches mesh differently with different players. Clearly, Ruben Niebla was able to see something and had some ideas for him. And remember, I think Chris talked about this yesterday, or maybe it was the end of last week. It wasn't, hey, you need to go do this. It was like, hey, you know, here's some things you can try. And he has gone out, he has tried it, and, I mean, you can see the curveball being used more. That's not by chance that he got the Padre uniform and was like, oh, you know what, let me throw curveballs more. There was probably some evidence that Ruben saw or whatever it may be that led to him using a curveball more, and it's led to more success.
Did they give an award for, you know, an assistant coach of the year, a coach of the year in baseball? I don't think they do.
I don't think they do, unfortunately.
I mean, Ruben Niebla's got to win this thing almost every year. I mean, he's so good. And you're right, Martin Perez, incredible. I mean, his whip with Pittsburgh was 1.65. With the Padres, it's 0.76. Basically gone from the worst pitcher in the league to the best in three starts. Now, it's a small sample size. We know that. But 21 strikeouts, 3 walks, Tony? Come on. I mean, that's 7-to-1 ratio for a guy that, you know, was really struggling to get anybody out. And hopefully he'll keep it going tonight against the Twins. Game two. All right, Scraby's ready. Now, he delayed his butt whooping. Anything else you want to delay it for?
No, I'm ready to go.
Oh, you're ready.
Yeah, he's ready.
Yeah.
Play the music.
Okay.
Hey, all you beautiful people out there. It's time to play one of our favorite games of the week.
All right.
We like to call it.
Ooh, I'm going to go.
Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Hi, welcome, everybody. I'm the host of the show, Chris Ello. Here we go with today's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. And, Tony, I'm sorry about this. It's Adam Klug sat in for Scraby and prevailed on a geography category. Scraby has been begging me for anything but a sports category.
You put words in my mouth all the time.
You know, it's
sounds
gotten,
about right.
It's gotten so much so that I finally gave in today. So I think it will be a challenge for both of you. I think it's an interesting category. This is an election year in our country.
Oh, great.
Hello, guys. There have been 17 men, and only men so far, 17 men have been president of the United States at some point during the last 100 years.
You're such a jerk for this category.
Sorry about that. How many of the most recent 17 presidents of the United States can we name? And that is the way the Fantabulous Sports Game Show will go today. You can play along out there, see how many of them you can get. And the guys will go in alternating order, 3 strikes, and you are out. You could end up getting an incorrect answer here if you name somebody that was president prior to 1924.
So 9 came immediately to my mind.
We're looking to the 7.
Wait, we got to start from 19. What was that?
It's over the last 100 years. For example, George Washington would be an incorrect answer.
He doesn't count.
He was president in the 17s there. So we're looking for from 1924 through 2024, 17.
The 17. That
17
crazy.
Guys. 9 will win it for you. Scraby says he's already thought of 9. So we'll see if today is his day to prevail in the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Scraby, you always get to go first if
you
want to.
I'm going to take it this time.
All right. What are you going with?
I'm just
going
to go backwards. Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. Obviously, that's correct. Tony?
Donald J. Trump.
Donald J. Winner. That's just going to try to impress me and go in order here. I don't think this is going to last too long, but let's see how well you can do.
Barack Obama.
All right, so far so good. 2-1, Scravy leads. You guys are doing all right. Tony.
George W.
George W. Tony's on that.
That's Bush 2, right?
That's Bush 2.
That's George W. By the way, I'm throwing this in. Last names are acceptable. You don't have to have all their first names.
I assume you guys knew I knew George W. Bush.
No, but that was correct. George W., yes. We made the difference. All right, Scraby?
What about his papa? George Bush. George H.W. Bush.
Thank you, George. Yeah. That's what I wanted to hear.
George Herbert
Walker. Better get it right,
Bush. I want to hear that H.W. in there.
And then you said last names are fine, but I needed the H.W.
Well, in this particular one.
You got to separate the OG Bush from the younger Bush.
Got to separate the Bushes. All right. 3-2. Scraby, we have, 12 correct answers left. Tony.
How about Bill Clinton?
Bill Clinton. All right. You guys have not only 3-3, but you've named the last six. So you guys are kind of going backwards in order here a little bit. Scraby, you're up.
Ronaldo Reagan.
Ronaldo. Oh,
Ronaldo Reagan. Yeah. All right, very good. Reagan takes up all the 1980s.
Yeah.
You guys are doing okay. 7-7 so far. I think it's going to get a little tougher. Maybe not. Maybe you guys are just show me that you are history fanatics. Tony.
I believe Herbert Hoover was a president.
Mm. Who?
Herbert Hoover.
Herbert Hoover. Hoover High School is named after Herbert Hoover. He was president from 1929 to 1933. Oh, right. That is a correct answer. Wow.
Ding, ding, ding.
Tony Gwynn Jr. gets the 31st president of the United States. Herbert Hoover.
Thought of Herbert Hoover.
He did.
I'm 4-4.
That's probably good for you, Scray, because I don't think that's one you probably had written down.
I actually thought he was just before.
So there you go.
All right, I'm going to go Harry Truman.
Harry
peace.
Wait, what?
You guys are having fun with this category. See, it's a fun category.
Little Harry peace.
A little Harry peace. 1945 to 1953 for Harry. That is correct. He was the 33rd president of these United States. Scraby takes a 5-4 lead here. Back and forth we go. Tony.
I believe Franklin Roosevelt falls into that category, that timeline.
Franklin D. Roosevelt, 1933 to 1945.
Yeah.
He was elected 3 consecutive terms. After that, they put term limits in. He was the reason for term limits. It is tied at 5, and we have only 7 correct answers remaining.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I forgot this one. It just hit me. JFK.
JFK.
Don't even try to do that little thingy.
Well, let me check the chronology on this.
I love when he does an impression of my voice.
John F. Kennedy was the president from 1961 to 63.
You're okay on that one.
You know, Harry Truman was also the president when the valiant Thor from the Venusians came to Earth. A Venus, a guy from Venus.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. Yes.
Who didn't know that? I had that in my notes here.
Oh, you have that?
6-5. Scraby's on top. 6 answers remaining. You guys are doing very well on the list of presidents here. But we're down to 6 to go. Tony.
Dwight Eisenhower.
Oh. Dwight D. Eisenhower is
that
correct. Tony's doing well. 1953 to 1961, 34th president. 6-6. You guys might just run the table. There's 5 correct answers remaining here. You guys going to get them all? I'm more than impressed here, I must say, so far. But Scraby seems to be...
Oh,
Scraby seems to be struggling slightly here.
I am not a crook.
Oh, you just took it from me.
Richard Nixon.
Richard Milhouse Nixon. That's right. That is correct. Richard Nixon, 1969 to 1974.
Why do we know the first? Do we always do the first initial of their middle name? Because I feel like I know a bunch of
first initials.
I know.
It seems like they just say it all the time when they're talking about them. But, Richard
Nixon. That's what's actually helping me remember some of these, honestly.
Yeah, Richard Nixon, 1969-74. That is correct. Scraby 7, Tony 6. Still no strikes. Only 4 answers remain, though. Presidents during the last 100 years.
How about...
Guys have done 13 for 13 together here. Very
How
impressed.
About Lyndon B?
Lyndon B. Johnson. Nice job.
Is he the one who's going for JFK?
Isn't he the last one to bow out of a presidential before this one?
He is the last incumbent, yes, to not run again. That is correct, Tony. Hmm. Very good. Lyndon Baines Johnson. Again,
Baines,
I wouldn't know these names
huh?
other than the fact they say them all the time. But he took oath on the plane there in Dallas after JFK was shot. That is correct. 1963 to 69. We are tied at 7 with 3 correct answers remaining.
Ooh, I think I got another one.
This is not my guess.
I think I got another one.
I think Woodrow Wilson was earlier.
Woody Wilson?
Yeah, Woody.
Otherwise known as Woody at the time?
Yes.
All right.
I'm gonna go
is that
with,
your guess?
No. I'm going to go with another Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt.
Theodore!
I don't know when it was.
Teddy Roosevelt.
I can see Roosevelt. His picture. He was very plump.
He's a plump guy. Outdoorsman. 26th president of the United States.
That's a little early.
Yeah,
little early, Scrabe. I don't have the timeline in front of me, but he is not in the last 100 years. So Teddy will cost you a strike. Let me just... okay, so we're still tied at 7. We have 3 correct answers out there. For the first time, Tony Gwynn... I want to just get the timeline on Teddy Roosevelt for Scraby. He didn't miss it by much. He was president... well, let's see here. Hang on. Oh, yes, 1901 to 1909.
All right.
So you missed it by about 15 years.
Makes sense.
Close.
I can 1901 see his to picture. 1909. I can see his picture.
All right. Tony, your chance to get your first lead of the day here. 7-7 tie with 3 correct answers left.
I feel like there's a Ford in there somewhere.
Dang it,
that's the one that came to mind.
You don't have to get his first name.
I know.
So is that your guess, though?
Yes, that's my
guess. Oh, that's your
guess. Ford. Yes.
Gerald Ford.
Gerald
is correct.
Yes, yes.
Former All-American center at the University of Michigan. Center as in football playing center.
Huh.
He won All-American honors as a center. Went on to be the president. The thing that Gerald Ford, to me, is best remembered for, you guys may remember some of this, was his ability, unfortunately, to slip and fall down. Every time he tried to climb up the stairs or go anywhere, and Chevy Chase really turned Saturday Night Live into his whole career by pretending to be Gerald Ford falling down all the time.
We elected a guy who falls down all the time?
He struggled. I'm just saying he struggled. He seemed to slip a few times. Chevy Chase, of course, took it to monumentally ridiculous heights.
Just thought of another one.
Oh, boy.
Me too. I got one more.
All right. It's 8-7 in favor of Tony Gwynn. Scraby.
Carter.
Jimmy Cotta. James Carter, 1977 to 1981. He was a peanut farmer.
A peanut farmer.
Yes, he was. A peanut farmer from Georgia. The plains
of
Georgia.
One term.
Yes, 1977 to 1981 for Jimmy Carter. I think Jimmy Carter, yes, he is still alive.
Yes.
Good for him.
He was born in 1924. That means he's turning 100 this year.
Wow.
Right? If he hasn't already turned 100. Good for Jimmy
Carter. What a good life for him.
Not bad.
Former president, living to 100.
Lived to 100. All right, there's one more to name. You guys have named the last 16 presidents of the United States. The only one you need is the 17th guy on the list. He was, I'll give it to you. No, I'm not giving you the name. He was president from 1923 to 1929. He was the 30th president of these United States. If either of you can name him, you're going to win the game.
I think.
Unfortunately, Scraby, you have an extra strike. It is Tony's turn first, though.
I know.
So, Tony, you get the first crack at coming up with this to win the game.
So it's an old one.
It's an older one. It's a bit of an older one, yes. 1923 to 1929.
There's a Simpsons episode that I'm thinking of right now.
Well, maybe that'll help you. I don't know the Simpsons too well. Tony. You got a guess here? Ben Higgins has a guess online.
I have a guess, but I'm going to hang on to it.
You're going to hang on to it and just
I'm gonna take my aunt right now.
Oh. He's gonna take a buzzer.
Oh, he's gonna play the game.
Gonna play the buzzer game. All right, he's taking a buzzer. He's giving you the opportunity to win the game here, Scraby.
There's a couple that float around my head. I know James Buchanan is not part of this list.
James Buchanan.
I know Polk is not a part of this
list. Just give us your guess.
Well, there is a Simpsons episode where they talk about this guy, and his name is Calvin Coolidge.
Really?
Yes.
And how did they talk about him?
I think he got it.
They bring it up in like, I can't remember why they bring it up, but the name Calvin Coolidge came to mind.
That's what I was thinking. I swear that's what I was thinking, but I was like, no way you're going to get this.
The 30th president of the United States from August 2nd, 1923 to March 4th, 1929 was Calvin Coolidge.
Wow, I tied it up.
No, you won it.
Wait, I thought I was tied.
No, that's ball game right there. 9-8, it's over. That was the 17th one.
It's all over.
Scraby wins today's fantabulous game show with Calvin Coolidge.
We'll always remember you, Calvin.
I can't believe the Simpsons is what saved you from it.
Stupid Simpsons.
I can believe the Simpsons.
Yeah, I guess I can, really. Do you remember anything more about the episode? Because nobody knows anything about Calvin Coolidge.
I feel like they were doing something where they... No,
I can't remember.
Maybe anything. Like they visited a Grand Canyon. Did he build the Grand Canyon?
Did he build the Grand Canyon?
I doubt he did. That was stupid. Did he... Okay, that was pretty dumb. Did he... He didn't build the Hoover Dam because Herbert Hoover.
No, Herbert Hoover would have been probably part of that.
He built the Grand Canyon.
Was he in charge of the FBI? I don't know why I know Calvin Coolidge, but I know Calvin Coolidge.
I don't know what I'm looking.
Walker was in charge of the CIA.
I'm looking him up to see what he might have been famous for. There's not a whole lot here. So, all right, Scraby is the winner today. It's Calvin Coolidge.
I can't even win on the chat. They're like, oh, you cheated.
What? No, you got it, man. You got it through The Simpsons. That's classic. And you beat Ben Higgins.
His presidency saw a period of economic prosperity known as the Roaring Twenties.
Flappers and prohibition and all that.
Yeah, he let drinking in. He was a hell of a guy.
No, I thought he banned drinking.
Oh, he banned drinking.
Right? Isn't it prohibition during the 20s?
I don't know.
His emphasis on reducing taxes and government spending.
Very good, Calvin. You are the guy.
Why can't we have a Calvin Coolidge
now? Ben Higgins was playing alongside with you, and he guessed the wrong guy, Warren Harding, who was the 29th president.
Warren G. Harding.
Yeah, so you beat Ben Higgins at this game today as well. That's correct, Scraby. You're right.
That was good. I enjoyed that one.
It wasn't so bad, right? President in an election year. Hope everybody had fun with the Fantabulous Game Show today. Scraby wins!
Woo!
Stop the presses. Gwen and Chris returns. We'll